We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. Presented by Green Ventures Landscaping, outdoor patios, landscaping design, lawn maintenance, and more. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Teron Davenport will be with us at 8 o'clock. For his weekly visit, we will get into all things Tennessee Titans with him, taking your thoughts in the meantime at 615-737-1025. The Save College Sports Act, Joe, that we've talked a lot about, generating more headlines. It advanced out of the out of a committee on Thursday. I think the vote was 19-9,
yeah, if
memory serves me
That's
correctly.
Right.
So 19-9 vote. On that front, we've talked about this act, like how many amendments people want with it, how difficult it is to pass legislation that has any sort of meaningful effect on all this, and what that looks like. But a nice step on that front yesterday. So in the aftermath of all that, what do you think about what this means? Because I believe now that this has passed that first committee, it's made it farther than any of these other ones. So what do you make of where we stand today as to whether or not this thing actually has a chance to get through and make some sort of impact on college sports?
I think it's totally doomed, but there's something here. And you know, you get into the politicians, you know, just look, I mean, this is a bipartisan bill. Ted Cruz, Republican from Texas, Maria Cantwell, Democrat from Washington, they've worked together on this, and now they're kind of like, you know, beating their chest like, yeah, like we were going to save college sports. I don't see, right now the Big Ten and SEC still oppose it, first of all.
Yes.
Okay, Greg Sankey's out there, you know, just tweeting up a storm, ripping people left and right. You get the, you've got the Super League stuff that is in there. You have the pooling of rights stuff that's in there. And, you know, you've got a spending cap, right? You got a lot of things that everybody wants, which is limiting the transfers and all that stuff, trying to preserve the Olympic sports programs. I think most people want that. But again, the spending cap. For one thing, I think people need to understand, like, even if this were to, and it should, I think, get to the Senate floor, but even if it does, even if it actually got all the way through and became a law, like, again, those are still, like, that doesn't mean you're totally immune to lawsuits. I mean, like, you know, it obviously gives them a lot more protection, but to me it's just been an incredible waste of time by the leaders of college sports, millions and millions, trying to get this life raft from Washington. And you look at this bill and there's just so many things in it that people don't like. And if the Big Ten and the SEC are opposed to it, and why are they opposed to it? Well, the pooling of media rights, you know, Cody Campbell, who has lost some credibility here in the last few weeks, by the way, as we've talked about, you know, he believes, I've spent more than an hour on the phone with him explaining to me why he believes this. He'll talk to anybody about this. And it's pretty convincing that if you did what the NFL does, and you pooled everybody's rights and you went to market with that, everybody would make way more money. Well, the Big Ten and the SEC are like, screw that. We're good.
Yeah.
I'm not bringing myself down with you. Now, if he's right, I would say they're being selfish and they are costing everyone, but they are not, you know, they're standing firm, like, we have the most money, we make the most money. And again, this is a problem with college sports, right? We have these different factions. We don't have one league that would unify. We have these different factions, And so this is an attempt, and he wrote a ton of – he had his hands all over this. This is an attempt to try to bring everybody in one thing. In theory, I kind of like the idea, but it's not going to go through. It's not going to work.
Well, it's hard for me to imagine a scenario with that sort of construct that the SEC and Big Ten are going to agree to. And not that they've got just like, I guess, total say, but if you can't get the SEC and the Big Ten to agree to this, you're just going to have a huge problem, right? Like, it's, we know that they are the de facto rulers of college athletics right now, right? I mean, it's not laid out that way, but they basically are. I mean, they're the de facto rulers of college sports right now. And to me, if you can't come up with something that they're going to like, I think it's going to be really difficult to get through. And look, I don't like it, but honestly, from their point of view, I kind of understand the media rights thing of why would we want to do this, right? I mean, they're already making money hand over fist. They're the ones that have kind of created their own TV rights deal, and now you want to take all that stuff and basically make it an even playing field. Like, I just don't think you're going to get the SEC and the Big Ten to go for that.
But so, what if it is way more money?
I don't even know that they care about that. I think they like the exclusivity of what they've done here and those two being the top dog, and I don't think they want to give air to anybody else.
I think you're right. But I also, yesterday, Ward Manuel, the Michigan athletic director, sent out a letter to fans. This is Michigan printing money saying we're going to start doing logos on the field. You know, like they're looking under every rock for every dollar they can find. So, yeah, you're right. That is it. But it's like – That's why college sports is just screwed. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, unless you can get to something, again, unless the athletes have a say in the stuff that goes on, like, it's illegal. It's going to be illegal. Yeah. So there were Democrats and Republicans who voted against this. Again, there's support. So that's good. If you like the bill, I like some of what's in it. But, two Republicans who voted no. Roger Wicker from Mississippi, they've got two SEC schools. Todd Young from Indiana, they've got two Big Ten schools, Indiana, yep. Purdue. You know, and so, like, that's – and like you said, if that's where the rift is
– it's hard to overcome.
You probably need to – you probably need to figure something out. Sankey – it's like the Super League stuff. And Sankey is upset about this. I tend to want to believe him, and I think I do, just in terms of, like, right now, I don't think that's really a thing. I don't think, like, this – I don't think the Big Ten and SEC are secretly colluding. Now, people are looking at this now. Oh, they're putting out joint statements. Uh-oh. But I don't think that's been a thing. I think it's one of those outcomes you could see as inevitable in some way, whatever it looks like, a new thing that's formed that takes the best brands and then everybody else is left out, and then what that does – I would have big concerns about what that does to the sport in this country. But, I mean, you could see how it could get there. I mean, did you see Notre Dame's AD last week talking about when he was arguing about why it's not good, but talking about it sounds amazing.
Yeah.
That's your schedule? That sounds amazing. But Sankey is calling out the private equity firms are circling like vultures, that they're really the threat to try to form the Super League, and the Big Ten and the SEC are not actively trying to do it. And I tend to agree. I tend to believe him. And this is where I tend to look at Cody Campbell, and it's like, again, some of your ideas, I get it, but also is he paranoid and thinks things are happening with the Big Ten and SEC that aren't happening?
Well, and also, I mean, not to get into Schoolhouse Rock over here going through Congress and
Capitol
all that
Hill.
Yeah, but so this part of it is passed, and now it's going to need 60 votes to pass in the Senate, and then it's got to get through the House, and then it's got to get to the President. So there's a whole sort of pathway it's got to go through to get to where it's meaningful, and I just that sort of pathway combined with everything we just talked about with the SEC and the Big Ten, I mean, I give it like a 3% chance to get done, and that may be even high on that.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that high. Yeah, it's – and again, there can be adjustments, but to me, the adjustment would have to be And Mary Cantwell has said, we've made huge concessions to the Big Ten. Now, they did. They lowered the – so the initially, as written, it essentially barred, like, the Big Ten and SEC because of their level of revenue, you know, from, like, adding members and stuff like that. They did lower it, so now the same rules apply to the Big 12 ACC. That's good. I mean, that's a good compromise, but – unless this gets chopped way down, a lot of this stuff just completely just gone. Yeah, I'm at like 0.001, you know? And that maybe that could happen. You know, I mean.
And then it leads to questions like, okay, well, how chopped is it going to get? And then, like, well, you know, what's the point if it's super chopped, you know?
Yeah, but I think so. Tommy Tuberville this week, I mean, I must say, I mean, he says stuff I'm like, oh, wow. What planet do you live on? But, and that goes back to his coaching career. But he came out and he had basically a big press conference where he put this bill and said this is like a federal takeover of college sports, which again it is. There are too many things going on here for it not to be a mess. And then he had his very limited, skinny bill of just the transfer stuff, just the real simple stuff that you can at least, you know, have some things fixed quote unquote with his bill.
Yeah.
And it's very limited. And I must say, I think he's on to something with this. The idea of just a really limited bill that at least focuses on like eligibility and the transfer stuff.
Yeah. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take your thoughts on college sports. And what does all this mean for the fan? We'll get into that coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025 The Game. Every dad takes us on a journey from Little League games and fishing trips to life lessons and road trips. This Father's Day, ESPN 1025 The Game, hooking you up so you can take your old man on another journey to see Journey live. We got tickets all day long for your chance to win Journey tickets. Journey, the Final Frontier Tour in 2026, coming to Bridgestone Arena on October 21st. Listen throughout the day for your chance to score a pair of tickets and give Dad a Father's Day gift he'll never forget from ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Journey. Now that's a proper band. Journey. Better choice for a Super Bowl than Maroon 5. I mean, put them on the list of hundreds.
The more songs from Maroon 5, Ian comes back with, the more I realize, you know, maybe they did deserve the Super Bowl. A lot of bangers they had out there, you know?
I mean, like, you're already getting to – I assumed if I would have been told that today you're going to play all these Maroon 5 songs, I would have assumed that I would be like, oh, that's one of theirs. I don't know that freaking song.
That's a good song.
I've never heard that song.
Well, maybe you're just missing out.
My life was better before today. Making my life worse.
That's kind of our goal. You know, yeah. Make Rexford's life just a little bit worse every day.
Until I finally die. Maroon 5 making my ears bleed.
By the way, the Sound's taking on the Memphis Redbirds tonight. First pitch at 7:05. Catch all the action on 94.9 The Fan. Presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Maple Street Biscuit Company, Mad Fireworks, and Social Cantina. So, on the one hand, Joe, you've got, you know, Congress trying to figure all this out. You got college football, college sports in general, leadership trying to figure all this out. And then you've got the fans who at the moment are just still being asked to pay an arm and a leg for all these things. Because you mentioned turning over every rock to try to find money. Well, eventually, like, the fans are the ones that, you know, foot some of the bill as well. So, like, if you're a college sports fan, and we've talked about the football part of this, I mean, all these teams are like in an arms race right now to come up with as much resources as possible and then allocate it to the right people in NIL. And, oh, well, by the way, make sure your facilities are still good. And, oh, by the way, you know, here's a shopping district that's coming by Neyland Stadium and all these other things so we can suck more money out of you so we can continue to have more money to fund all this stuff. Like, what do you – from a fan standpoint, one of the interesting things to me is there's been so many changes. We talked about going back to, like, 2015 and try to explain to people the new ACC rivalry of like Stanford and Miami. It's like, oh, good. They're in the ACC on complete opposite sides of the coast. Try explaining that to people 10 years ago. It's amazing to even think about. There's so many changes in a short period of time. And the bottom line is, from a college football standpoint, especially, it hasn't really affected interest level. It hasn't affected the dollars that are flowing. The TV ratings are still really, really good. So on the one end, if you're all these people in college sports, you could say, well, I mean, look, interest is as high as it's ever been. People are still watching our product. People are still spending money. Let's keep going. On the other hand, I can't help but wonder in the back of my mind, like, when does the time come where people get tired of doing this, right? Like, there's only a certain amount of people that have the ability to spend some of the money that it's going to be required to spend to follow your teams. We've talked about that when it comes to the college football playoff. And at the end of the day, throughout all this, the ones that kind of get screwed in this are the fans.
100%.
It sucks.
Yeah, and so now we're talking about disenfranchising a lot of them, right? Because even if it's not realistic, in the way college sports has been, like, you have a chance. This could be the year that you have the magical year. I remember, you know, a few years ago at, like, Middle Tennessee, you know,
Rick Stockstill?
Yeah, but what's the kid's name?
Brent Stockstill?
Brent.
Yeah.
Yes, when Brent, thank you, was a quarterback, and they had a really good team, and they had a schedule. They won at Syracuse.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, you know, what if this team, you know, I think they had a game against Minnesota. I think they lost to Minnesota or something like that. So like that ended it. But I mean, it's like, okay, so what if they do end up winning these, rip through their league, and then they're a team that's like, you know, they're in there as a possibility to be included. I mean, that as a possibility. It keeps everybody engaged in it. You disenfranchise, and that's, you know, we're talking Power Five teams that are going to get disenfranchised, you know, if this Super League comes about. So, and that's different from what you're talking about, but that's another way.
But it's all related.
But it's all related. It's all related. And then here's a question. Speaking of the fans, here's a question I'd have for the Ohio State fan, or a question I'd have for the Georgia fan. I guess the Alabama fan too, although they've already been pulled back to mediocrity a little bit here. But, okay, so Super League. Okay, you guys are going to go to that, and then you're going to have these – you're going to play each other. It's going to be like NFL light. And then there's going to be guardrails, and there's going to be all this stuff. So you're okay being like everybody else?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if I'm an Ohio State fan, I like winning 12 games every year and being better than everybody all the time.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so we're going to go to this where it evens out way more than it is now. And now you're going to, hey, 8-4. All right, we got in the playoffs. Great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the effects on so many fan bases in so many different ways. I think people haven't considered all of them. But also, to your point, it's like we have these ridiculous playoff systems being proposed where you would ask people to travel like 4 or 5 weeks in a row. And the people who can do that are the very rich people, and they're already being hit up for so much money that might be to the point where they have to sit out a couple trips.
Yeah.
It's so much of it is unsustainable and stupid. But yes, right now the numbers are good, and so there are people in college sports like, hey, what's everybody complaining about? It's looking good. The numbers are good. Yeah. I mean, I think there's some panicky stuff that comes out of the administrator side too, right? A little bit of like, oh, it's all going to collapse on us. And it's like, well, you just paid your team again. You just did another year. But I think you have to put some stock into what they're saying.
Well, the bottom, and we've talked about this, but the bottom line is also this. Had they spent some time, go back 20 years, had they spent some time preparing for this, and instead of trying to fight tooth and nail for as long as they did to prevent players from getting paid a little bit of money, or, oh, heaven forbid, somebody bought them a sandwich. Like, had they spent some time actively preparing for this and figuring out a system where maybe from the jump there was collective bargaining, you found a way to make them employees, like all these other things, would you be in a better spot than you are right now? Instead of just going from zero, where there's nothing going on and it's all just like you're trying to control. And now, as multiple people have pointed out, I mean, there's just no rules. Like, it's just total chaos and anarchy. And it all basically stems from you fought this for so long, and rather than planning for it, you tried to resist it, and then it happened, and you had no idea what to do.
Right. Yeah, it's a great question. It's like, would we have eventually still gotten to the point of, hey, you know, this is illegal, you know? I don't know. But certainly the way it went, and it's so embarrassing for the people who were the gatekeepers back then. And by the way, leaders who are still in place right now, I mean, Greg Sankey,
yeah,
you know, had no use for anyone getting a dollar of NIL. But this is where then we go to this bill, to your point there. Go to the bill now. So essentially, you are proposing to cap the money on the players without them having a voice in it. Yeah. And I understand you're hoping that this will be a protection, but I have my doubts that it will. Let me go to Tuberville real quick. Good old Tommy Tuberville. Getting a lot of play on the show today. So he had these two boards. You know, he goes down a list of this bill, this massive bill and all the things, you know, basically saying doesn't fix the portal, opens the doors to lawsuits, caps the compensation, government-controlled TV contracts and realignment. His is 5 years of eligibility, has to be 5 consecutive years, you get 1 penalty-free transfer. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, it does it address everything? No, but
can we start there? Yeah.
But if you to me, how many fans at the beginning were like, "Well, if they're getting paid, I'm not watching." We know that's BS, right?
Yeah.
I can for all the people who are like, doing pretty well." Well, that is a proper response to the idea of them getting paid is going to turn people off.
And frankly, no one cares about that anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
But players constantly moving every year,
people do care about that.
People do care about that. And so to me, that would have been the smarter way to go here. And I mean, I'm sure there'll be more chances. There'll be more temps.
I'm sure there will.
We'll see if this one gets to the Senate floor before it gets,
I tell you this,
burned to a crisp.
One of the most amazing things to look back on, I did this the other day, is just, I mean, you forget about it because at the time it seems like such a big deal. But I go back and I'm like, you know, what exactly happened again with all the Jim Tressel stuff at Ohio State? It's like, why was he like basically forced to resign and all this other stuff? And it's like, oh, so players got tattoos for a little bit cheaper because they traded sports memorabilia. Oh, great.
It's amazing.
Think about where we are now.
Like, friend of the show, Charles Robinson, spent months, you know, on that story,
yeah.
Like, you know, in Columbus, like trying to see, like, oh, see if they can find someone, you know, getting a tattoo.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible.
I mean, it's not that long ago.
No. That's a scandal.
Yeah, I mean, Tressel left Ohio State in May of 2011. It's not that long ago. Yeah. Hey, think about where we are now. It's amazing.
Really is.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. A potential rule change in baseball that MLB's tossing around. That would be massive for college baseball and, frankly, potentially massive for college baseball around here. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. This is about where they started to lose me.
Oh, this is what got this lost you?
This
really?
Yeah. I wasn't a huge fan of this
one. You were feeling good before this one.
I mean, like 0-2, 0-3, Maroon 5, it's not bad. I mean, it's basically like everything else with me. It's like about after 2008, I'm like, no thanks. Get it all away from me. God. That's movies, music, whatever. I go back and watch stuff from like 2004 all the time.
Really? Interesting.
I wonder why that is.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something.
I promised myself, I remember like being like a 16-year-old. And, you know, there'd be people in my life that, you know, are of a certain age where it's like, oh, they think everything that we do sucks and all the our music's terrible. And I was like, I'll never be that guy. And then I became that guy at like 25. I was like, oh, yeah. Like the new generation's, all their music is terrible and nobody can make a good movie anymore. And
younger than most
people.
TV shows
suck now. And yeah. It happened quick.
Well, I'm
also lost my hair quick. So I think the two things are correlated.
You are Rhett Foreman.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, hey, you guys suck, all of you.
I'm still going back to the 80s, right? For like most of my favorite comedies are probably from the 80s.
Yeah, I got a buddy who, you know, my age, but loves really only 80s and 90s music.
Yeah.
You know, never really got into the newer rock or newer bands at all. You know, I, of course, went newer at some point, but I pretty much just listen to a lot of the same bands, but I'll listen to their new stuff.
Yeah.
Too. You know, it's hard to find new artists these days.
Yeah. That's why I feel bad for kids. I've said that before. It's like, it used to be, to me, easy. It's like, well, I mean, MTV, you know, like MTV was a big deal. Like, that's the first time I heard of Pearl Jam was on MTV or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I mean, even regular radio in the 90s was big for that. Yeah.
Right.
And now, discovering new music. And I guess YouTube. Maybe it still does. Maybe
TikTok. What do they do?
TikTok.
They go
and
to
YouTube.
TikTok? Mm-hmm. Is that what it is?
Seriously.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that's too bad.
That is rough.
Because it all sucks now. Everything sucks.
The MLB, Jeff Passan put this out there yesterday, and then a whole bunch of discussion around. It's very interesting. MLB proposed an overhauled domestic amateur entry system that basically just removes high school players from the draft. So you're talking removing high school players from the draft. You can make college players eligible after their sophomore year,
yep,
which would shorten the MLB draft from 20 rounds to 12 rounds. It cuts down on the money from the current bonus pools from like almost double, like $358.7 million, I think is the current bonus pool, and it would be dropped to $200 million. So the MLB is tossing that around, which of course means if it goes through and it ends up happening that way and high school players being drafted are just immediately outlawed and they can't get in there until after their sophomore year. I mean, a lot of these guys who get drafted high as high schoolers who don't end up going to college and start playing like A-ball and all the other stuff and trying to work their way up through the pipeline that way, you're going to college at that point. And, you know, for a team like Vanderbilt, and to a certain degree Tennessee, but Vanderbilt over the last 15 years, I mean,
unbelievable.
How many guys have they recruited, got to commit, who'd never showed up on campus because they got drafted really high and then went on and just started going up through the ranks that way? Like, how much would that change the game for Vanderbilt over the last 15 years?
I believe right now they have the number one class, and it's like, but this guy, this guy, this guy, are they, you know, they have decisions. And this has happened so many times, so many years for them. And, yeah, moving forward, I mean, I think both of those programs, I mean, it's college baseball in general, you think about this. I mean, it would be massive in terms of the talent that you are. It's already a great product. A little bit forgotten with the World Cup this year and with no Tennessee and Vanderbilt. But it's already a great product, already a ton of talent, a lot of guys who go on to the pros. But if you take the top guys who would be going at the top of the draft and now they have to play 2 years of college baseball,
yeah,
to me, and by the way, the MLBPA is like they're already, you know, the cap. I mean, it's like, I bet you we're probably not going to have baseball next summer, so, which is fine with me because it's dead to me now because the Tigers suck again. But like, so the MLBPA is totally against this, so we'll see. But what I read out of this is baseball saying, you know, look at the NFL. Like, they don't pay 1 cent and they get a free developmental league out of college football. Why can't we just do the same thing? So here's a statement from them. Quote, by creating a draft system centered around college-age players and making most college players eligible 1 year earlier, more players would benefit from both a college education and an elite development environment while reaching professional baseball and ultimately the major leagues more quickly. We believe these changes will strengthen college baseball and deepen fans' connection to the next generation of major league stars, blah, 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 end quote. In other words, yeah, you know what? You be our college football. You get these guys, they can come a little earlier to us, but we get to judge other, we get to see them, we get to watch them play against each other, and we don't have to pay a dime. And now all of a sudden we can cut down our bonuses, cut down our rounds, save all this money, and you're paying these guys so much money right now, that's great. Keep doing it. So for college baseball, you know, I think they like the idea too, right? I mean, any college baseball coach, I would think, would like the idea. I mean, I guess he's had to contend with kids on other teams that are – but if you're a top program in this sport, to be able to, like, recruit these kids and know that they're coming to you, sounds pretty good.
Well, you would think –
sounds expensive, too.
It sounds expensive. You think that that would be overall, on the whole, good news for teams like Vanderbilt and Tennessee, who recruit very well, who, you know, have had high-level players not ever really make it to them because they're going to – pursue their MLB dreams early, right? Like, you would think for teams like that, it would benefit them greatly to have this rule into place. Now, I'm with you. There's a whole firestorm of stuff coming in baseball right now that they're going to have to work through over the course of the next year, or they may be missing some time next year. Like, it's not looking great on that front right now. So how real is this? You know, at this point, you know, what they're, you know, as you've got the MLB and the Players Association, like, there's just going to be public lobs back and forth between the two of them over the next year. So you always have to keep that in mind when it comes to stuff like this, because it's all kind of a power play from both sides now. I do wonder, like, does this ever actually happen? Because I was thinking about this. I think baseball is different because it's just – it's so hard and rare for, like, teenagers to immediately play in Major League Baseball. Like, it just doesn't happen very often. Like, for instance, like, the NHL will never do this. Like, the NHL will never put in some rule where, hey, you've got to play a certain amount of time in, you know, juniors or college before you can play in the NHL. Like Connor McDavid, he's ready to play in the NHL immediately, right?
If you have a Sidney chance Crosby, at a star to come right in your league, you that come
they're
on.
Not, yeah, they're go. Not they're not going to be like, you have to be 20 years old to play in the National Hockey League. It's just not going to happen. Now, they've got all the stuff where it's as I'm destroying my
just
microphone.
Punch that thing.
Yeah. They've got all this stuff where, like, the AHL stuff where it's like, well, Brady Martin probably too good to be playing in juniors, but he's not eligible to come play in the American League yet, and they're trying to work on that. I think that'll be gone here in the next couple years, so that'll be good. On a more permanent basis. But they're never going to be like, Connor McDavid's got to wait till he's 20 to get in the league, or Sidney Crosby's got to wait till he's 20. I mean, that sort of stuff just doesn't. It's very difficult for an 18 or 19 year old to be ready to play Major League Baseball.
It is. Now, here and there,
you'll see it every now and then.
Here and there, you'll have someone. So I guess you would be delaying the very rare. Like, how long did Bryce Harper take to get to the show?
I want to say he was 19 or 20. I mean, Trout was 19. So, I mean, I think, Trout was 19.
But he still probably did a year where he did a little A-ball up to double A, right? So, yeah. I mean, it's like in hockey, like you said, like the top guys that go to the top of the draft, like, okay, they're playing right now. It seems like this wouldn't be too costly to MLB.
Harper was 19. So Trout and Harper are two big examples recently of 19-year-olds.
Exceptional. Yeah. Exceptional examples. For the most part, if you're that level, you do two years of college baseball, come on, you're ready to play. You've played against high-level competition, again, for free to MLB, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if this is going to get through. Is this another thing that's essentially like a leverage play in the whole big discussion that they're having too? You know, this might end up being, okay, well, let's get rid of that.
We'll concede
and I feel better
on this,
about, who knows? But it's interesting. I would be interested to know. I would assume that the Tim Corbins of the world would embrace it.
I would assume
it, because then you have certainty with your class each year.
I would assume so. And frankly, like, again, I am a very casual college baseball fan. I enjoy it basically this time of year, and really when Tennessee and Vanderbilt are in it. If they're not in it, I don't really much care. But you can't convince me this wouldn't be great for both Tennessee and Vanderbilt. Like, this should make them a lot better if that's the way it goes. Now, it would make some other teams better too, obviously.
Sure.
I mean, it's not like it would just be Tennessee Vanderbilt exclusive, but those two programs are at a level where they would certainly benefit from this.
Yeah, and so you think about some of the guys that they recruit and then say, he's signing. You know, it's too much. He's got to sign. Now you know that you're going to have those guys on campus. They're going to be playing for at least 2 years. Yeah. I mean, I think that ups the interest with the casual fan for sure.
We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode coming up next. Take your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at 102.5 The Game for live shows and exclusive content and our future award-winning YouTube chat. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Rowe.
Glorious. And I'll sit here, I'll live it there, till I'm victorious.
Born and raised downriver.
Geographically?
There's not a south part of Detroit.
That's just north,
south,
east,
east.
We need RV hustling and Philip muscling and maybe even a power play goal. You're a fast one, Mr. Zeppos.
What's up? This is Scott Stapp from Creed, and you're listening to Robbie and Rocks Road.
Marlins, baseball.
Sing us a song, country boy.
Home run, stolen base. I know some baseball words.
This is my first time hearing it. Makes me sick.
What's up? This is Scott Stapp from Creed, and you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5 The Game.
It is time for the Rex Rant, brought to you by Rapid Response Generators, power when it matters most, and served by the Wine Cellar in Hendersonville. Joseph, the floor is yours.
Wow. For some reason, the Kaharski jump in there just
sing me a song, country boy.
Wow. Well, this has really triggered me, this whole thing that Ian's done to me today with playing all this Maroon 5. So my initial idea was I'm going to go through my iTunes and name all the bands that would have been a better choice. I mean, I couldn't name them all because, like, this goes a long way. But then I started looking at all the other bands, as we've talked about, who have. So I think I want to do this. I want to establish and make sure we all agree that Maroon 5 is the worst Super Bowl act of all time. Okay, so quick history lesson: it was basically marching bands and stuff until, and I didn't know this, but I guess it was, you know, in the 90s, we started having like alternative. There's been the Puppy Bowl, right? Or whatever
sure,
it's called.
Yeah.
Now, Beavis and Butthead with the Butt Bowl, you know, like that's. But In Living Color did an alternative Super Bowl halftime show, which apparently got a lot of viewers away from the Super Bowl halftime show of 92, which was Winter Magic, a salute to the 1992 Winter Olympics. Gloria Estefan was also there. So it was that's what Super Bowls used to be. It was like tributes to things. There was like a salute to Peanuts and like Chubby Checker, but like they didn't really have, it wasn't really a thing to have these. So the next year, what does the NFL do? Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
How about that for you? You like that? You like them apples? So Michael Jackson. So essentially, starting in 93 with that Super Bowl, it became a thing. Like, okay. They're serious. They're going to have big-time acts. Okay, so let's go through it real quick. You had a country one the next year in Georgia Dome with Clint Black, Tanya Tucker, Travis Tritt, and The Judge.
Sweet.
Better than Maroon 5?
Yes.
I don't like country music. Hell yes. The next year, you have Indiana Jones. Oh, yeah, it was like this Indiana Jones thing. But they had Patti LaBelle, Tony Bennett, and Miami Sound Machine. Yes.
I'm so confused with the Indiana Jones thing.
Yeah, sure. I remember it was like they had Indiana Jones, I think, like air. He like came. It was like an Indiana.
Actually,
Harrison,
is it Harrison
Ford?
Ford?
I don't think it was Harrison Ford. It was, oh, it was like a stunt man, but it was like, yeah, it was the theme. Okay, the next year, 96, Diana Ross. Hell yes. Okay, the Blues Brothers, Aykroyd, Goodman, and Jim Belushi. Yes, even without John Belushi. Yeah, that's better than freaking Maroon 5. Okay, Boys to Men, but Smokey Robinson, Martha Reeves, The Temptations, Queen Latifah, yes.
Boys to Men was hot, right?
That one's debatable.
No, because The Temptations is not debatable. The Temptations alone, Smokey Robinson alone destroys Maroon 5.
All right, but you got like 75 people in there.
Well, that is true. Now, that is a fair criticism that some of these, I mean, like the next year, Stevie Wonder on his own, yes. But no, it's Stevie Wonder and Gloria Estefan. Well, why? Then, Phil Collins on his own. Yep. Great. Except it's also with Christina Aguilera, Enrique Iglesias, Tony Braxton, and then Edward James almost narrating.
Sometimes
I don't
just
know.
Leave him alone.
But at least one of these artists with all these stupid things like is good enough. Aerosmith, great. Except they're also with NSYNC. Aerosmith and NSYNC. What? Why? Do you know what the best, I think arguably the best.
Okay.
It was February 3rd, 2002. New Orleans, U2.
Yeah.
And for anybody who remembers, this was a few months after 9/11, and they had the names of all the victims 9/11 as U2 play. At that time, I remember saying, this is so far and away the best Super Bowl halftime show, it's not even close. Okay, here's one that we could maybe debate. I wouldn't, but you might. Shania Twain, and No Doubt.
You're not going to get me to say a bad word about Shania Twain.
Okay. So there you go. The next year, the famous one, Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake, Jessica Simpson, Kid Rock. God, I forgot that Kid Rock, P. Diddy, and Nelly were also part of this just mismatch of whatever.
That was a memorable one.
It was a memorable one. But still, I mean, Janet Jackson alone. And the other ones I could take or leave with it. I mean, Timberlake's good. Whatever. That's better than Maroon 5. Okay. Paul McCartney. Yep. I don't want to hear your comment. Rolling Stones.
We found one Maroon 5 beats. Thank you.
Yeah, come on. Prince. Yep. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Yep. Bruce Springsteen, the EC brand. Yep.
I think I'd go Maroon 5 over Springsteen.
You would
too.
Not.
I absolutely would.
Okay, well, then I quit. I quit. I quit today.
Springsteen's not good.
Oh, jeez. I mean, okay. In 2011, Usher and Slash? Yes, it's still better than Maroon 5.
Sure. I don't remember that one.
In 2012. See, they had this great run of pick a great classic band and just go.
Okay, so Usher and Slash was with the Black Eyed Peas. Which was also not good.
Oh, I forgot The Who. Yeah. The Who and 10. Yeah. So here's the thing about the Black Eyed Peas. They had a good album in 1997, and then they got really bad. I still give them over Maroon 5. Okay, then Madonna. Okay, yes. Beyonce, yes. Bruno Mars, I'm not a fan. They also had the Red Hots.
How recently did Maroon 5 do it? They haven't even come up yet, have they?
They haven't come up yet.
2019. Okay, good to know.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like, so all these songs you're playing, are they from, 2002?
Yeah.
Why in 2019 do we have Maroon? Something fell through. I want to know the real story here. Katy Perry, yes. Coldplay, yes. Lady Gaga? I mean, I'm not a Lady Gaga fan, but I'm still going to put her over Maroon 5, right? No. You're not sure? Justin Timberlake, he had a good show because he did Prince. Remember that?
Yeah.
That was actually really good. And then, yes. Maroon 5 in 20 is it be like is it classic rock in 2019? Is that why they did? Oh, the good old days of listening to Maroon 5. Utterly ridiculous. And then we go, the recent ones, The Weeknd, Rihanna was really good. Usher, fine.
What was that show,
Kendrick
Maroon?
Lamar.
What was the Adam Levine? What was he in? Was it
The Voice?
The Voice. Yeah.
I wonder if they were on the same channel that
year. Could have been. Yeah, that's a good call.
Well, that would just be a terrible reason to do
it. I wonder if he was on The Voice and it happened to be on the same network TV as the Super Bowl that year. I wonder if there was some type of cross promotion.
Could have been. May have figured it
out. Might have did some research on that. But.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's a good thought. That in tandem with 27 different artists that they tried to get that canceled on them. I hope so. But anyway, I think that we've established it's of all these things since Michael Jackson, because that's really when you started, 1993.
Sure.
Even though they've had weird, they used to do the weird thing, let's try to appeal to all different types of music and put them all on the stage at once, which was a terrible idea. That's still better than Maroon 5.
People think the popularity of The Voice was what did it. Could be.
And was that
Ian may be on to
something.
Was
that peaked around then? Was that? I thought it was earlier than that, wasn't it?
Could have been, but I'm wondering about the gap there. You make up a good point. The 2002 peak to 2019.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. Just a thought.
It's a good thought. Dennis says, if you think about it, Maroon 5 is a perfect Super Bowl halftime performer. They are the lowest common denominator for the masses. That's a very depressing comment, Dennis.
Yeah, I think Springsteen may be the worst.
Oh, God. All right. Your Beatles take is bad enough. We can't do that. I mean, I'm not like the Springsteen guy that Kaharski is, but my God, Springsteen's a great artist.
I think we throw around the use of the word great way too much.
It's not like The Boss. When The Boss plays, a Santa Claus coming to town, and it's so wonderful.
Your thoughts?
Yeah. I do like to make fun of Kaharski and The Boss, but he is pretty great. He's great.
Teron Davenport will be with us coming up next. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5 The Game.